Welcome to Salon Talks. I'm Mary Elizabeth, and today we are all going to rise for the beloved American classic. To Kill a Mockingbird is back in a brand new Broadway stage play. It's adapted by Oscar and Emmy-winning writer-director Aaron Sorkin, directed by Tony winner Bartlett Sher, leading the incredible stellar cast I saw the other night with my daughter, which is the only way I think one should see this show. Two-time Emmy winner Jeff Daniels, you just won the Emmy last fall. Thank you for coming and joining us today, as of course the iconic small-town attorney Atticus Finch. And with us we also have three-time Tony nominee, not too shabby yourself, Miss Celia Keenan Boulder. She is the tomboy daughter scout. Hi, welcome both of you.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure.
I saw this, like I said, with my daughter the other night. I was telling Celia, my daughter, who is a teenager, actually jumped into my arms at one point in the show, which is, I take your kids just for the physical contact with your children that you might not otherwise get. I want to start with you because this is, you are not, you probably thought that your days of playing, the opportunity to play scout were perhaps behind you by a year or two, right?
I mean, see, I remember when the show was announced, I did think, I was like, what lucky little girl is going to get to play that part? Mm. I'm so jealous of her.
And because you know this character, you used to audition, you used to bring
clips of her dialogue
from the novel to auditions when you were just starting
out.
Because I was like asked to do a monologue. I was like auditioning for The Grapes of Wrath at the Hillbury Theater. And my parents were like, we don't know what a monologue is. We don't know where you find a monologue. And my mom was like, well, you could maybe do a part from To Kill a Mockingbird, a book that I loved. And she was like, that's a young person who has a lot to say. So we like cobbled together the Mr. Cunningham
speech. God.
And that was what I used a couple times too.
And now just 5 years later.
That's right.
But this is, you are the reason that this cast has this very unusual premise of having adults playing the children's roles, of playing Jem and Dill and Scout, because you went in just to read it, just to help the cast, right? When it was just a table read?
I think it was especially for Aaron Sorkin, who
was that first one in October?
Yeah.
And I
was told, like, this will never be your job, but Aaron has his first draft and he needs to hear the play out loud, and they're just too nervous. We did 2 days. Mm-hmm. And so they just felt like having a 8-year-old cold read Aaron Sorkin's language would be
death.
He wouldn't get to learn what he needed to learn. And as I started it, I was like, good luck to the 8-year-old, because this is dense and hard. And then I think as that reading went on, they just started thinking, like, maybe this could work. Maybe we don't actually have to hire kids. When Bart first said that, I was like, honestly, if you told me you were going to do To Kill a Mockingbird with adults, I would tell you I don't really want to see that. But as we continued to work on it, I think, you know, now it's like the most theatrical device possible. It makes it so of the theater, the fact that we are able to bounce back between being grown-ups and kids.
Right.
It's such a tricky role, what she's got, and the other, and Will and Gideon as Jem and Dill, but it's so tricky because they go in and out, you know, they go in and out. And did you, when we went into the first preview on November 1st, one of the questions was, will the audience, especially those who love the book, are they going to accept adults playing kids? We didn't know. I mean,
no.
In the rehearsal room, we're going, well, we think it works, but we didn't know.
No.
That was a big gamble.
Right, to just kind of throw out there. But it really, as someone who has read the book as a child and then again with my children as an adult, it reminds you that it is a memory story, that it is the Scout remembering. It's not her experiencing in the moment. It is not a God's eye view of this story. It's a personal story of a woman remembering this very pivotal point in her life.
Yeah, and it's so much more fun to get to do both, as opposed to, say, casting an adult scout and a kid scout, which I think would also be something you could do in the theater. But I think this is such, it's so much more of a challenge, it's so much more gratifying, and it does something, I think, for the audience to sort of go on this journey, both, you know, watching us play kids, but also look back on the story as adults. That I think it allows, in some ways, it allows the adults an in a different way than maybe if it was played only by kids.
Yeah, we had the stars and writers of Pen 15, of Hulu's Pen 15, in a couple of weeks ago, and there are two grown women playing middle schoolers, playing 12-year-olds, and they said the same thing. They said, when you can just kind of, okay, these are adult women, there's a degree of safety that then you as an audience feel about what the actors are doing.
Interesting.
And and there's a different kind of approach to then the story itself, and mm-hmm. you are seeing it through this different lens. And as you've said, this would be a really tough role for a real 8-year-old to play, which brings me to, of course, Aaron Sorkin. Aaron Sorkin, not the easiest person to whose work it is to do, and you have this incredible connection with his work now. Mm-hmm. So about 5 years ago, you were ready to maybe step back from it all.
I was done.
From it all. You were done. You were done. And then this...
Wasn't interested anymore.
And then this role comes along.
Newsroom. Yeah.
That's the one. and really kind of changes the game for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Sorkin approaches you not too long ago and says, I'm doing this version of To Kill a Mockingbird and I'm writing Atticus for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that if I hadn't done Newsroom for 3 years. I learned how to do Aaron doing that show. And one of the tricks is, and people picked up on it, Celia picked up on it right away, not every line he writes is important. You don't have to put actor spin on every single line. You don't have to put weight on every single line. Actors tend to do something with every single line, and he wants you to roll it to get to that one. And once you figure that out, then you can hear the music of it, the melody that goes in the way he writes. There's a melody to that. So once you figure that out, then you're kind of in. And then they got the rights, and he just turned to me one day. We were doing press for the Steve Jobs movie together. And he said, Scott Rudin just got the rights to Mockingbird, and would you like to play Atticus? And then I said, so I should read the book? I'm an idiot.
I have to ask.
I'm just an idiot.
Instead of,
oh my God.
What an honor.
Me?
So I should
read the book.
And the name is called Attack?
Atticus, right?
Right? What is it?
Kind of
he's
name
the main
is that?
Guy, right? Right?
I'm not sure I can play someone named Atticus.
Now,
but
seriously, how does one avoid this novel in their lifetime?
Well, you avoid it by reading Hardy Boys. You read Chip Hilton. You don't read the great works. You go to a public school that say, here's one Hemingway, here's Lord of the Flies, and then see you in college.
They won't kick you out.
And Mockingbird just wasn't on the list, and you never got around to it. You heard about the movie, but you didn't really watch it. And then Aaron says you want to do it, and you go read the book, and you go, okay,
all right. It's a good book.
And then you watch the movie and you go, all right, okay. And then I'm also of the age, after Newsroom too, I'm of the age where if I'm not challenged, I just lose interest. And that was part of the reason for just getting out, was I just was not going to be that actor standing there next to some 28-year-old making $10 million who barely knew his lines, and I'm playing his father. I can't do it. So if I'm challenged, and now all of a sudden there's Newsroom, here's Atticus Finch, and you're going up against Gregory Peck on Broadway in this whole new adaptation. You're going, that's a challenge.
This is a
Let's
thing
rise people, to that.
This is a thing that people will notice. This is a thing that's going to get people's attention. And yet, everything that I've read about your approach to this role and to this character has been just very... You did not see Gregory Peck as this mountain that you had to climb. You just kind of said, I'm going to make this my own, and I'm going to give my best every single night.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have two choices. You can be intimidated by what he accomplished, and he accomplished a lot. Many people think of him as the Atticus Finch, the definitive portrayal, and he won an Oscar for it. So you can pay attention to all that and look at it like Mount Everest, or you hit delete. And you hit delete so that you, all right, here's what I'd do with it. With a completely different writer, script, Aaron, completely different medium, the stage. You know, we're not in front of a camera doing six lines and then cutting. You know, we're out there. Yeah. And it's Aaron Sorkin. It's a river of words. And so I approached it like we approach everything. We originate roles.
And that's different.
And that's what I had to do.
Because, you know, if you live in New York City and you're fortunate enough to see a lot of shows, there are a lot of shows that are based on books, that are based on films, and the audience, there is an expectation in this business where the stakes are high financially. Audience want you to come, there's the sense that the audience is going to want you to come in and do the movie. I mean, there are shows out there right now that are the movie, which is fine because that's what makes money and that's what entertains people. But this is very different.
Here's something that you are comfortable with, which is my problem with theater sometimes. And so we're going to give you something that you know that you're comfortable with. But I never thought that what we were doing was, we were going to screw with it. We were going to take all those people who were holding the book in the first preview and go, you need to put it down in the first 10 minutes. That's what I thought we were doing.
The beginning, the number of conversations about the first 5 minutes of the play, I could not understand why we were starting the play the way we were starting it. I couldn't figure out what age I was supposed to be. I felt like it was so destabilizing that it didn't remind me of anything from the book or the movie, and I could not understand why we were starting the play that way, and I pushed and pushed and pushed, and then that first preview came, and I was, and the audience was very quiet for those first 5 minutes. But I realized all along, of course, that Aaron was like, we have to teach them in the first 5 minutes that this is not what they're expecting. And it's a genius way to start the play. I just needed, you know, an audience to really understand that. But that, I think, or maybe like 2 weeks, in front of an audience. But that I think it does, you know, you don't see the porch, you don't see the tree, you don't see a cozy town in Alabama, you see an abandoned warehouse and 3 grown-ups, one holding a newspaper, talking about facts and whether the facts that she was given all those years ago hold up. And I think in a really amazing way, that sets the audience on a course to say, okay, well, I don't even know where we are. Like, where are we in space? Who are these people? Why are they asking these questions? And in a good way, it sets them up to watch the rest of the play.
Right, and what I really, really respected as someone who I think like 90% of American girls treasures this book with all of the depth of her heart, is that it is respectful to Harper Lee's story. It is very respectful to that novel while also giving you something else and giving you something very different. And as you were pointing out, let's start the story with someone questioning whether the facts are correct. Let's start this story pretty much with a trial. Let's start this story as, from the beginning, we're going to talk about the way things are reported, the way stories are told, and about justice. And that feels rather timely right now, right?
I mean, that's been something when people come back and they're like, I can't believe how relevant it is. And I wanna say, you know, that's not by mistake. That's completely intentional on Aaron's part. And that's why I think it's an incredible adaptation, because exactly what you're saying, he hasn't changed anything. He took what Harper Lee wrote and then teased out the themes that he felt needed reexamining in 2019.
Right, and making it, I think in certain ways, the things that might have felt more dated are not really there, and the things that needed to be drawn out a little more or drawn out a little more. So speaking of topical relevance, you were both, you have performed this in front of the Clintons. That must have been wild, right? To look out and see. And I heard Hillary leaned over to someone and said, she's really good.
That's the tale. I don't know that's true, but I'll take it. They were very generous after.
They were great.
Bill Clinton said he wanted to be, he said, I used to want to be Atticus Finch, and now I want to be Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, so. I wept openly.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense. And then you were just down in Washington, D.C. this week doing a very special performance. I would love for you to talk a little bit about what it was like doing a truncated version of this show with Nancy Pelosi introducing it, and Nancy Pelosi saying that right now what we need are, there is a hunger for stories about decency.
I mean, I don't think she's wrong. And I think during the Obama administration, there was such a cultural vibrancy in DC, and I think their need to be inclusive and I think they just really value the arts. And so it felt like this place where in the White House, like often you would get to see performances, or you would, you know, have different artists that were always occupying a space. And that just has not been the case for the last 2 years. And so to be in DC and to do this play at the Library of Congress it was very moving. And it's so interesting because a part of me, you know, when we were rehearsing it on Sundays before our matinee, I thought, I don't know if this is like, can you take scenes from a play and put them up for 450 teenagers? Like, will this work? Does that work to just do scenes? I feel like when you do a musical, you can go and do a musical number and it stands alone and it's impressive and it's what it was, what it is. And we started, and these kids just like sat forward, and I feel like were really with us. And it's, again, it's a testament to Aaron, and that the writing is so good that even if you pluck, you know, six scenes that don't necessarily go from one to the other and put them up, you can still get a really good sense about who these people are and what they're going through. And so that part of it also was very moving to see. Like, the play can withstand all kinds of different iterations.
And will continue to do so. For those of us who are not fortunate enough, like me, to live in New York City and get access to great theater, I also want to mention to everybody that the show is starting a national tour, right, late mm-hmm. this summer, starting in August. It's going to be starting in Washington, D.C.,
I think it will start in 2020.
Oh, okay.
So not this year. Next year.
Okay, well, then I'll just have to wait a year. But in the meantime, that gives everybody plenty of time to get a ticket to come to New York City, right?
That's right.
See this beautiful, amazing reimagining of this American classic. Jeff Daniels, Celia, thank you so much for joining us. What a beautiful show. And I have to take the rest of my family to see it too. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.